1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
Thirty-seven present, three absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representative Bennett is excused from the call of the House today. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is Pastor Bo Moline of the Bethel Assembly of God Church. Will the House please rise for a prayer? Representative Swanson. Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the Journal for the 9th day.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 9th day.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Miller.
I'm looking around behind pillars. I in particular wanted to introduce one guest, and I didn't see what's here first looked. Mr. Speaker, today on our desk is a legislative citation that I'll be moving to take up as a special order of business. It honors a young lady from this community, Mary Hockelaw, who brought considerable honor to Alaska and, as a matter of fact, to the United States of America in running in the Greek Marathon last fall. As a matter of fact, she came in third in the women's division in the Greek Marathon from the city of Marathon to Athens, and received a gold medal for that very worthy effort. And it's my pleasure at this time to introduce the lady that we'll be dealing with in this citation, Mary Hockelaw, and her father, Bob.
Are there further guests for introduction to the chambers? Are there any messages from the governor?
Mr. Speaker, there's a message from the governor transmitting the first report of the paperwork reduction program. This report will be printed in the supplemental journal. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Hess has had Senate Bill 129 relating to medical assistance for needy persons under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing do pass, Byrne, Cotton, Chatterton, Nackack, and Parr. Having no recommendation at this time, Buchholz. Having no recommendation, Phillips and Osee. There is a Chairman's report attached. Senate Bill 129 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 389, providing for an orientation program for new legislators under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Miles, McKinnon, Kelly, Lathine, and Nackack. House Bill 389 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Labor and Management is at House Bill 613, making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Labor, Workmen's Compensation, and Local Hire, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Anderson, Loveseth, and Smith. Having no recommendation, Brown and Hayes. House Bill 613 has a further referral to finance. I have no further committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction. Are there any special committee reports?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions.
House Resolution Number 16 by Osterbeck, requesting the governor to declare the village of Karluk, Alaska, a disaster area.
Be referred to the State Affairs Committee.
House Joint Resolution 47 by Buchholz, Schaefer, and Bradley, relating to bilingualism in federal proceedings.
Referred to the Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of bills.
House Bill 650 by Byrne, an act directing the initiation of litigation to protect the interests of the state in completing land selections under the Alaska Statehood Act and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Judiciary, and Finance.
House Bill 651 by Byrne, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Law and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Judiciary, and Finance.
House Bill 652 by the Rules Committee by request for the Steering Council for Alaska Lands, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for disbursement to the Steering Council on Alaska Lands and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 653 by Loveset, an act making a special appropriation with respect to a utilities transmission line at mile 18.1 of the Seward Highway and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 654 by Bradley, Anderson, Buchholz, Cotton, Cooper, Dankworth, Duncan, Eliason, Freeman, Gardner, Greening, Haugen, Hayes, Lathine, Loveseth, McKinnon, Malone, Meekins, Miles, Miller, Nakak, Osi, Parr, Phillips, Schaefer, Snyder, and Swanson. An act providing for redevelopment assistance in blighted commercial areas.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 655 by Miller, an act relating to the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 656 by Parr, an act relating to comprehensive homeowners insurance rates.
Refer to the Commerce and Judiciary Committees.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Yesterday was introduced in the House Concurrent Resolution Number 90, relating to regulations of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs to implement the Senior Citizen Housing Development Fund. And that bill was referred yesterday to the State Affairs Committee. I'd like at this time to add Community and Regional Affairs Committee referral to that resolution. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, since we're dealing with the introduction of bills, this might be a proper time to acknowledge your request to me that I place this motion that House Bill 305 by Malone relating to hours of sale of alcoholic beverages be withdrawn.
Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted.
Speaker, may we be at ease?
House, please stand at ease. We're down to consideration of the daily calendar. There is no published calendar for today. Representative Miller.
Speaker, as you say, there is no published calendar for today. A citation, legislative citation that I made reference to a minute ago, is on all of our desks. I'd like this time to bring up as a special order of business the legislative citation honoring and commending Mary Hakalaw for earning the gold medal in the 1977 marathon run in Greece.
Is there any objection to the special order of business? Hearing no objection, please proceed, Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, at this time I'd like to place the motion that this body adopt the legislative citation on commending Mary Hakalaw. Ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection to the approval of the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Let the record show the motion was adopted unanimously. Brings Representative Cotton.
Can we revert to introductions?
Without objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, there's a friend of mine in Gallery B from Peters Creek, Dorothea McDonald.
Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, there's an Alaskan who happens to be living in Seattle, a
guest for introduction will revert to the regular order of business. We're down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Representative Freeman. Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Freeman.
I think that there might be some value in the legislature this House, one way or the other, giving the responsibility to say to the minority leader and the majority leader to work together with the people who produce this program to be sure that they have a reasonable balance in their presentation. Now, some people are going to cry, you know, censorship, and that we shouldn't, that it doesn't do our image any good to get ourselves involved in censoring what these people, but they're censoring it. And I think somebody on our side, somebody from the legislature, should have a right to keep an eye on those people and point out to them where they think they're making an error. Now, I'll give you some examples, and I'm not trying to be critical, frankly, in this early in the session. Maybe things get a little dull, and some of the stuff they put on shouldn't have been there in the first place. But let me tell you something I take exception to, and maybe it's not a big thing. But when the show first comes on, I forgot what you call it, but anyway, what do I see on there? I see a picture of Senator Croft, Governor Hammond, Mr. Anderson, and there's some other statewide candidate. Oh, there's one that isn't. That's Senator Bill Ray, but I can understand why he would be there. Maybe he's a friend of these people or something. But, Mr. Speaker, the point I'm trying to make is that the way I see this program is supposed to be to enlighten the people out back home as to how the legislature works. And, I don't think it was supposed to be a tool for statewide candidates. And I think that, you know, you shouldn't just pinpoint these particular people that are candidates to be governor every day. The implication is the thing that I object to. I don't care whose picture's on there, but then it seems to me that it's indicative of what's wrong just to pick out those particular people and flash their picture on there every day. $75 for 30 seconds, so maybe they're only on there for a few seconds, but that's worth a few bucks in campaign money. I don't think that's right. One of my colleagues last year recommended that we have some kind of a committee to kind of take a look at how these people run this show. The objection was raised that it was the censorship. I agreed with him at the time. I still do. And the dangers, the abuses inherent, you know, that could happen are something that I think we should be aware of, we should think about, and we should make the people who produce the show aware of it so that they know. I have a, you know, there's an old saying that, a prudent man doesn't get into a squirting contest with a skunk, the implication being that, you know, you don't want to start a fight when the other guy has all the weapons. And I realize that standing up here and, commenting on the show, well, if they take exception to that, they may wait till they catch me picking my nose or something, and that's the only time I'll ever show up. But it doesn't bother me because I'm not that concerned about whether my picture is seen statewide, and I don't know whether people in my hometown even see the show, so it's no great concern to me. But it could be, if by some reason or other they start favoring one particular person and shoving, and that's happened. I know that happened. It's human nature. I've watched it for years with reporters. Mr. Speaker, there's probably not a person in this House that's been subjected from one extreme to the other of treatment of newspapers. I've been through that mill. I never have had too good a rapport with reporters. I always get along with editors pretty good, and so I managed to work it out. But 20 years ago, when I was when I first came to this legislature, Mr. Speaker, the editor in my hometown was a dyed-in-the-wool, hard-nosed, reactionary Republican. He hated anybody that didn't make any difference who they were, if they were a Democrat. And I was never so abused in my life. If they couldn't slant the story to make me look bad, they didn't print it. And I was, accused of everything except being a horse thief. But and I lost the next election, too. But so I know that people in the news media, people who have a responsibility and an opportunity to project public images, can cut your throat if they're determined to do so. Now, it's human nature for reporters and people to sort of favor people they like or their colleagues. I'm always reminded, and maybe some of you have seen this cartoon, it's an old one, and in Punch, where it's a theater and there's a great audience, and a villain is up on the stage, and he's getting his comeuppance, and all the crowd is applauding, except one guy, and he's glaring, and the guy who is glaring looks like an identical twin to the guy on, you know, getting abused. So people tend to sympathize and empathize with certain, you know, their age group or whatever political philosophy, whatever it might be, and it's hard for these people not to favor and lean and slant, you know, certain of their exposure. So it seems to me that there would be some benefit, again, and making the people who produce the Capital 78 in this case aware that there is somebody here that's kind of keeping an eye on. I hear a certain amount of muttering and grumbling around the hall, but nobody wants to raise a question, nobody wants to challenge, because they're afraid they might not get on the TV again. But that doesn't bother me, and I would like for the speaker and my colleagues to give it some serious thought. And thank you for the time.
Are there any more special orders? Representative Byrne?
Well, Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to make some remarks on some legislation I introduced this morning?
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Byrne.
Well, Mr. Speaker, today I introduced some legislation which would require the state to sue the federal government in regard to our D2 land questions. This would establish our state rights under the Statehood Act, and we're in a process now of negotiating with the federal government over millions of acres of land. And one of the tools that you use in negotiation is a lawsuit. We don't have any lawsuit involved here, and we should have one, because we're being damaged. We, the state, is being damaged. We're losing some of our rights that we're entitled to under the Alaska Statehood Act. And if we file this lawsuit, as I hope that we will, we will improve our bargaining position considerably, I'm sure, with the federal government. You see, in 1959, when Alaska became a state, we, the people of Alaska, entered into a compact, into a contract with the federal government. We became a state under certain conditions. And we're entitled, under those conditions, to receive 104 million acres of land. We were entitled to have the first pick of all the land in the state, which approximately, it might be about 30% of all the land in the state would be selected by the state. First choice would go to the state, and the feds and everybody else would come second. And that contract did have a provision, as I recall, which would give the native people some rights to select their lands also. So our statehood contract was, I understand, subject to the Native Claims Settlement Act, which was worked out a few years later. In 1966, of course, the land freeze started, after the natives had filed some lawsuits. In 1971, the Native Claims Settlement Act was achieved, and the natives were then given 4 years to select and receive their lands. And of course, that would have meant that in 1975, the natives would have, you know, received all of their lands. But they didn't get their lands, of course, as yet, and they, I understand they only have about 10% of all the lands they're entitled to, the 44 million acres. And probably they're not going to be able to get their lands for quite a few years to come. Then in 1972, the state went ahead and selected the about 70 million acres of land, which was the balance of the land they were entitled to. But the federal government then denied the state this, and the state filed a lawsuit. This was under Governor Egan. The lawsuit was settled out of court. Once the feds realized that the state of Alaska was, you know, not some patsy to be pushed around, well, then the feds came to the bargaining table, settled the lawsuit with the state, and the state got quite a few, got about half the lands that it asked for, and gave back the other half to the feds. And then about 2 years later, the Secretary of the Interior withdrew all the rest of the lands, and that's the way it's been ever since. We're being damaged, there's no question about that, and I think that if we did file a lawsuit, we'd we would have the question of whether Congress could make and break contracts settle real fast. I think the courts would agree that the contract was is binding upon the federal government and that we don't have any problems in selecting our lands first. I'd like to remind you that actually in the state, of this vast state here, we only have 1/3 of 1%. That's 1/3 of 1% of all the lands in this state are in private ownership. It's a pretty fantastic figure, 1/3 of 1%. And all the rest is in government ownership. I think this lawsuit's the only way to go. I think it cuts through all the baloney, and I think that it will give the state the rights that the state is entitled to, and I hope that we can start committee meetings on this either this afternoon. I'll be ready to go and testify and get this thing on the road. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet at 1:15 this afternoon to go over the education portion of the budget. It'll be reviewed by the budget analyst of that part of the budget. The meeting is optional to the members.
Mr. Speaker, State Affairs at 1:15. I believe we're taking up a bill by Representative Hayes on school children naming the capital.
Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today on the criminal code.
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee will meet at 3 o'clock, and we're dealing with House Bill 296, civil liability of health care providers.
It's come before the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, several announcements. First of all, I'd like to announce that the flowers in the chamber today are from Mr. and Mrs. Art Skinner from Ace Hardware Flower Shop. And we appreciate it. Speaker, Representative Buchholz has asked that I move and hereby move that she be excused from the call of the House for Monday, January 23rd.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The member will be excused on the date indicated.
Under announcements, Mr. Speaker, today at noon, we'll have an outstanding guest speaker at the Democratic Luncheon. Our own Representative Hugh Malone will be telling us what's going on with the legislature and what he expects to see in the future of the legislature. So we'll look forward to that address. And
a short one.
Elephants as well as donkeys are welcome at the luncheon. Speaker, just for our social calendar, I think most members got a copy of this letter from the Alaska Native Brotherhood, but just a reminder right now that 7:30 on January 20th, there will be a reception in honor of the representatives and senators at the A&B Hall. I'll make another announcement on that day. Speaker, if there's no further business to come before the House, I'll ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, the House is adjourned.